Greetings and salutations, good friends, and welcome to Blades in Paradise. My name is Dr. Winston Thoreau, and I will be your guide to the perils and pleasures of our paradise amidst the post-apocalyptic Pacific Northwest. Now, we'll get to the chicanery and shenanigans momentarily, but before we do, allow me to deliver some news. Blades in Paradise is an actual play podcast run in John Harper's Blades in the Dark, and we're sponsored by the developer Evil Hat Games. Use code BARDROCK10 at checkout to save on your order. Bardrock Network is sponsored by Dragon Master Games. Visit DragonMasterGames.com for all your CCG, TCG, TTRPG, and miniature game needs. If you enjoyed the stories we tell, you can tip us on Ko-fi or visit us at Patreon.com/BardrockCafe. By sponsoring the network, you not only help us provide an ever-expanding library of shows, but gain access to bonus content, the network Discord, quarterly backer games with the network community, and an annual swag bag. Now, without further ado, let's join Lizzie, Sterling, and Max, as well as myself, the crew of ESPN. Enjoy. Blades in Paradise is a dystopian story intended for adults. These narratives intentionally explore challenging and often difficult-to-listen-to topics. This campaign includes content warnings for gun violence, substance abuse, animal cruelty, child endangerment, and graphic description of physical injuries, including the eyes. Listener discretion is advised.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Blades in Paradise. Last time, our heroes successfully stopped a train robbery. Well, successfully in air quotes. I'm moving my fingers in quotation marks. But they did mostly stop the train robbery and did successfully get their cargo to Salvation. Albeit not cleanly. They all suffered gunshot wounds of varying levels. Before we dive back into that, let's go around the table and have every player introduce themselves, a brief introduction for their character, and one cool thing they want to share about the character this week, starting with Jim.
Making men jump off trains with ghosts in their brains, I'm Dr. Winston Thoreau. I'll be playing the Whisper of the group, the spooky, scary ghost summoner. And a fun fact about Winston is that he has three different tailors who provide him with his counterfeit goods to be able to look his best while spending the least.
Nice. And not to be, none of them are Swift Taylor. They're all different tailors spelled slightly different.
No, T-A-I-L-O-R, Taylor. They work swiftly, but they're tailors, yes.
Alright, and then Justin?
Hi, I'm Justin. I will be playing the Lurk Maximilian Graves. He's a very, 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 very old man who's falling apart, has a couple of prosthetics, and, well, actually only one prosthetic and a big cane. But he's hanging in there. He got shot twice, but an interesting fact about him, to build on the interesting fact. Last episode about hating pickles, I'll be more direct. He hates Thomas Dillon Pickles. Thomas Dillon Pickles is his rival enemy, and he hates him with a passion.
Was the Rugrats referencing a guy this whole time?
Yes.
Okay, then. all right, Queen?
Hi, I'm Queen. I play Lizzie the Hound, who, as we learned last week, has a rival in Swift Taylor, who stole her man because she's not Jolene and she couldn't keep her mitts off.
Awesome. And finally, we have Riley.
Hi, I'm playing Sterling, the fresh and bloody scoundrel today. The first and last time young Sterling appeared on stage, they missed the cue, panicked, and punched the child lead in rage.
Oh, that's great. No children were harmed in the recording of this introduction. Anyway. The train comes to a halt. You are all clutching at your various gunshot wounds. Security of the train had already been dinged by the alarm of the conductor. So the guards for the town are swarming in the police, if you will, because we are in a more modern setting than D&D, which is my home show of choice at the moment. But that being said, the Popo do show up, and they start examining you all. You get, like, minimal medic attention. The conductor's like, oh, yeah, you guys stopped the train robbery. Thank you, you're heroes. Oh, God, you're bleeding everywhere.
No. Hey, Doc, what was the name of that gang?
The gang? You guys have to tell us, we weren't there.
The Lord and Taylor gang.
The Lord and Taylor gang. We were trying to stop them, and our fearless leader there, he got the jump on two of them, as you can see. They have permanent smiles, if you will. But yes, we kept them from endangering anyone else. We took a brunt. Would there be an apothecary or a veterinarian that we could see about our...
Oh, yes. We will get you all to St. Bernard's right away.
Now, before we talk about healthcare, hi, I'm Dr. Winston Thoreau. I am the supervising manager of this group. And I would like to ask just one question. Is there a reward for stopping these vile villains?
They talk amongst themselves, like, reward, reward. I tell you what, we'll pay the medical bills for you getting patched up at St. Bernard's.
All right, I guess.
Oh, very generous.
Okay, thank you.
And I'll actually have you guys know, without a roll, the healthcare system in this world is garbage. You just saved a ton of money.
Absolutely, and I've marked one of them, or at least one of them was marked by Lizzie stabbing her in the neck. It was an amazing fight. You should have seen it.
Except for Lizzie doesn't have any knives on her.
I slowly pass one to you.
Yes, the woman tried stealing my man again, and I won't let it happen.
Like, ma'am, I don't think you stabbed her right. Usually the part at the end doesn't go through your hand.
They stopped my hand off.
Oops, sorry.
Oh my god, sir, what happened to your leg? Did Lord and Taylor gang do that to you?
My leg? Oh, it's fine. It's... Oh my god! It's wooden! It's falling. No, other leg.
We went the gunshot wound, the prosthetic leg we assumed you had beforehand.
Ah, yes. Oh, I'm Maximilian Graves. Who are you?
We are the police.
Officer,
I am.
Do you have any questions for us, or are we free to take our cargo to its location?
I mean, they'll interview you. Do you say anything to them about, like, is there anything you're going to withhold telling them based on what your account of the story? Or are you going to give them the facts as they are?
I'm not planning on telling them anything about us shooting first. I'm planning on telling them that we were under assault. We were dragged to the back to unload the boxes, and from there we defended ourselves and were left injured and had to use whatever force was necessary to protect ourselves and the cargo, because as they most specifically said, we are heroes with a capital H, and I'm going to tell everybody we know.
Yeah, I could make you roll for that, but like, they already got softened up by the conductor, so I feel like they had your back. Yeah, so they absolutely believe you. We will get you guys patched up here, and your associates here, like a couple of other ESPN employees show up, like they'll get your cargo over to the ESPN warehouse for you to get to wherever it's going after you're patched up.
Yes, remember that. We're the ESPN couriers from... Where are we from?
Paradise.
Paradise, yes, Paradise. Yes, remember that. It never hurts to have connections in high places, as it were.
Anyway, we will all let you all use the elevator to get to St. Bernard's. I imagine you don't want to take the stairs.
Oh, thank you.
So they escort you to the elevator. They basically give you basic just gauze to kind of like help you hold the gunshot wounds, because there's not like an ambulance or anything, so you're just walking on your own power with gunshot wounds.
Dumb question. Are the keys for the elevators the same across all the cities, or is our key also usable here?
Do you want to try it?
Well, not with the cops standing right next to us.
Maybe later you can try it, but right now you don't.
Gotcha.
And the cops already gave us a free ride anyways.
I mean, they escorted you. They didn't like hop in a car, because vehicles are very rare in this world because it's harder to power them. We don't have more fossil fuels or anything. So like, it's kind of like a whole big deal when someone has a vehicle. So like, these guys are more like riding around on a horseback the way like a New York City police officer will around the park.
Ah, Sterling loves horseback with a gunshot to the gut. I'm sure he's enjoying that.
Looking longingly at the stairs as we pass them.
Anyway, they pop the elevator, like, oh yeah, just go. You want to go up to like about the 200th floor?
All right.
Yeah, so you guys be on your way now, and thank you again for your service.
I'm sorry.
Oh, thank you.
Officer, did you have a name that you could possibly provide us in the event that we need to tell them that our bills are being covered?
Oh, of course. I am Sergeant Pepper. My brother actually works at the hospital.
In your brother's name?
He's Dr. Cornelius Pepper.
Gotcha. I will make sure to find him.
Yeah, he'll take good care of you guys. Best dentist in Salvation. And the elevator door closes.
Shall we?
After you.
All right. So I hit the button for the 200th floor.
Yeah, and so the elevator music plays very, you're expecting very chill with like this Victorian honky-tonk thing. I think we did a similar thing when you took the elevator in Paradise. And it pops open, and you see across the way a large ramshackle hospital building. It says St. Bernard's on the front. And you do know St. Bernard's is a chain of hospitals. It is the corporate hospital of the nation. So every hospital is a St. Bernard's.
St. Bernard's. Woof.
Is there a cute pink-haired nurse behind the counter by a chance?
Oh, yes. Actually, that is Dr. Pepper's nurse, Nurse Joy Ratchet.
Nice.
Now, when we go in there, are you going to be okay if I do the talking, or if I ask her for some assistance? Is somebody going to jump out of the ether and maybe, I don't know, stab her in the neck? Or shoot her in the gut? Or are we all on the same page here that we need to get ourselves some services?
Oh, you are more than welcome to take the lead. You are, after all, our fearless leader.
Does the services include whiskey?
I mean, possibly. I don't know what kind of facility this is, if they're licensed and boarded, but we'll...
As long as the service includes whiskey, I'm good.
Okay, let's go inside. Hello.
Hello, I'm Nurse Joy. Oh my goodness, you must be the people the police called.
Yes, we have a myriad of gunshot wounds, some not so bad, and my larger friend here, you can see that he may or may not need some organ transplants.
He looks like a donut.
Don't worry, Dr. Pepper will patch you up. Best dentist in Salvation.
Do you have someone who focuses on the non... porcelain pieces of people's bodies?
Oh, yes. How much are you willing to pay? The police are only covering Pepper from Dr. Pepper.
I don't believe that's what they told us when we were downstairs.
They said that they would pay your medical bills at St. Bernard's, and they contacted us and said to have you see Dr. Pepper. They are covering Dr. Pepper.
Well, they told us that we were getting the hero package, because after all, we are heroes who stopped a train robbery.
Is that our crew name, so we're legally heroes?
Go ahead and roll sway to try and convince her that you get the hero package.
5 and a 1.
All right, well, the 5 is a mixed success. She's like, okay, we'll get this straightened out. And she reaches for the phone and starts twirling the little rotary dial. But yes. I have these heroes on the train ride. They said that they wanted the hero package from the medical. You guys cover that? Uh-huh. Oh, you cover how much? Okay. All right, so they said that what they can do is they will cover Dr. Pepper's premium care package, but it's still going to be Dr. Pepper. So I'll give you guys +1 D on your rolls to heal.
Could we at least get a hero sandwich?
The hospital cafeteria might be able to help you out.
I lay down on the floor.
Oh, dear, you have to get on the gurney. Please don't get on the floor. We have to drag you to get on the floor.
Can we please do something? This man is dying.
All right, yes. We have whisked away to an operating room where you're all just on different tables with, like, these flimsiest curtains dividing them.
I am choosing to forego medical care. I'm just going to hang out and watch.
Okay.
I'm going to take my level 1 harm and go up to the theater up top.
The observation
theater, okay. And I'm going to have a box of Junior Mints, and I'm just going to sit there and eat my Junior Mints while I'm watching.
All right. Yeah, absolutely. So this tall, lanky man with dark hair and like an oversized like reflective dial on his head walks in. He's like, "Hi, everybody! I'm Dr. Pepper."
Oh no! This is a horror game.
Oh, and, like, he walks up to Sterling and he looks at the gunshot wound. He's like, "Looks like you got a bad case of loving you." Don't worry, I have Jacqueline with coach for that. And he pulls out some very rusty-looking sutures to fish out the bullet. And at this point, you're going to go ahead and roll your recovery roll.
Awesome.
That's the recovery roll. I'm looking at the rules reference sheet. Basically, you're going to roll a score. So if you pick a trait and you're going to roll that number of D, whatever one's most relevant. I feel like there's got to be one that ties to your toughness that I'm thinking about it here.
Prowess. That's where I've got most of my points. I think that's where they focus.
Yeah, so you're going to go ahead and roll that, and based on your result, it'll move your harm clock. It's just 4 segments. When your harm clock is full, it'll decrease the level of harm.
Okay, not a crit, but a 6.
All right, so you're going to fill up 3 of your 4 harm segments. I'm going to go ahead and say that that's close enough. That's close enough to bump it down to level 2. Yeah, so he fishes out the bullet, and he pulls out some dental twine to, like, and he sutures the wound shut.
Minty.
Is it minty?
Yeah, it smells very minty. Your stomach smells like peppermint.
Yeah.
Yeah, so now you have, you can mark your level 2 harm instead of gunshot wound, healing wound. Just try not to get hit in the stomach. What's it called? Stitches. We can call it stitches. That's the word. Your level 2 harm is stitches. Like, here you go, and have a lollipop! And he shoves a lollipop in your mouth.
That is a nice touch. And sit and sulk in a corner with the lollipop.
Alright, and then he goes up to Lizzie's like, oh, it looks like somebody's not going to have much more of a piano career.
I'm more worried about my gun hand.
Oh, yes, yes, that's an important thing, yes. Let me take a look here. He holds your hand, he starts like turning it over a couple times, like look at the palm, look at the back. He kind of like puts his finger in there, he does at least have a gloved hand. He kind of like wiggles his finger through the hole to like get an idea how big it is. And he's like, I think you have a case of the cat scratch fever, dear. But don't worry, I can take care of this. He's like, first we disinfect it with some tonic, and he reaches and grabs this bottle. And you see the bottle says, Famous Nathan's Miracle Tonic by Heinz.
I wouldn't use that. Famous Nathan is a quack.
Ah, well, Famous Nathan is our primary supplier, sir.
You use Famous Nathan's products? How did he get that contract? There's no possible way that Famous Nathan... And I get up and walk away.
And he takes the tonic, which is basically just a bottle of whiskey, and pours it on your hand wound.
Minty.
Yeah, so that's gonna burn like hell. Go ahead and roll your recovery roll to see how you do.
Okay, how do I do the recovery roll?
All right, so you're gonna pick a trait you feel is related to your physical injury here. I'm trying to roll a sheet here. Yeah, so go ahead. Yeah, sure, go hunt. Sure. I feel like the resolve one. Resolve sounds like it'd be physical. No, it's not like a good one. So yeah, pick a like hunt is fine. This is your hand. And rolled that many.
Because that's what I was thinking, where it's my hand and it's hunt. Double twos.
You're going to add 1 segment to your harm clock. You do not substantially heal. I'm going to go ahead and say, like, I'm giving you guys this one as a free downtime activity. If you'd like to spend one of your downtime activities, you can do it again. You get 2 per heist, basically, during downtime. So if you'd like to roll again, you can, but it's going to be one of your 2 downtime activities.
I walk back in, and I'm like, he has absolutely no medical training, and that guy that he's working with, that Heinz, he's just a bootleg hooch provider, and I can't believe that, and I walk back out of the building again. Just ranting in the hallway.
Lizzie, would you like to use one of your 2 downtime activities to try and heal your hand more?
Yes.
All right, so go ahead and roll and hunt again.
Double sixes.
All right, that's a crit. So yeah, your clock is completely full. With double sixes and back to a level 2 harm, I'm going to go ahead and say, yeah, you can just say, oh yeah, it's fine. You can fill up your healing clock the extra 2 segments on the level 1 harm. So you have like half a clock full and your hand is injured, but usable.
There's no possible way that it's ever going to work ever. Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm great. Whiskey. Just a miracle every time.
You're kidding me.
And here, have something for you. And instead of like giving you a lollipop, he pours you a shot of whiskey out of the tonic bottle.
The medicine is alcohol.
I doubt it.
The medicine is alcohol. God damn it.
Alcohol does the medicine all the way around.
Like, It's great disinfecting your wounds.
It disinfects it to heal properly.
Yep. And then you, sir. I have some bad news for you. It's a Max, yes?
Yes.
I cannot save your arm or your leg. They are both beyond repair.
It's his other leg.
Oh.
Max looks rather unhinged at this point, like he's going into shock. He sits down in the nearest chair and does a 1,000-yard stare off into nowhere while slowly petting a dead rat.
Max, sweetheart, your leg and arm's been gone for a while. This doctor, the quack, needs to work on the second leg.
Oh, I'm fine. I think I'm good. I just rub a little dirt in it.
Where's the other rat?
Well, I have one in my pocket, one on my lap, and you threw the first one.
No, you simply cannot refuse care, sir. No, I can tell right now you're down with the sickness, and we need to take care of it.
Oh, well, come on, your mother.
Exactly, he pours tonic on your gunshot wounds to fission out the bullets. Go ahead and roll your healing clock.
All right. And you said with a plus one?
Yes.
Okay. I got one extreme to the other. I got one and a six.
Well, six is to fill up three slots. I think you have two gunshot wounds, so you have two level one harms, right?
Yes.
I'll let you clear one of them. You can either have a weak leg or weak arm, your choice.
Weak leg.
All right. Would you like to spend one of your two downtime activities to try and take care of the other injury?
Oh, it'll be fine. What could go wrong?
Excellent. And for you, sir, and he holds out a Tootsie Roll.
No, thank you. I had a bad experience with these one day. Sometimes wake up in the middle of the night, sweating profusely, cold to my bones, remembering that horrible day.
And as you say that, an owl lands on the sill of the window and hoots at you.
Oh, gods!
And you have a faint memory of something about a Tootsie Pop.
The world once looked mighty good to me when there was Tootsie Rolls. They were all I could see.
Well, you're all set now. Just be sure to take your vitamins, and he basically gives each you one bottle of tonic.
Ooh, yeah.
And Winston, I'm going to go ahead and say you can go ahead and still roll the clock, even though you avoid the treatment, because you at least have a good idea of how the disinfecting part
Cheers.
Works.
Thank you.
This is your one freebie. I'm not going to deny your freebie.
That's a six and a two.
Dr. T. Doc T, would you like my tonic?
No, it's... Famous Nathan is, quite frankly, one of the worst people I have ever met in my entire life. He is a liar and a charlatan, and quite frankly, I would not trust him not to put, and you didn't hear this from me, rat poison inside of his tonics.
Oh, absolutely. I believe you. That's why I'm giving you this to reverse engineer.
Max, you're smarter than you look. Thank you. And I pop it. I'm going to pop that right in my pocket.
I look gods awful.
Bar was set so low, you could step over it.
And just so you know, Winston, I knew it was quack, but it's still alcohol. It still does its job.
Lizzie, next time I'll just take you to the bar across the way. It will be cheaper and you'll get better service. The only problem is you'll need to tip.
And as you guys are stepping out with your tonic bottles, in addition to tonic bottles, he's like, okay, also take your loyalty card, and he punches a hole in it. And you can see after 9 surgeries, your 10th surgery is free.
Do I get 2 holes to match my 2 holes that were put in me?
Go ahead and roll sway.
All right. That's not good. Let's see, I get...
Technically, you did reject his offer to take care of the other wound.
I got a 3.
Yeah, so you're going to get Mark experience there, and no, he's not going to give you a second hole punch. Pretty low stakes roll.
Doctor, has anyone ever successfully cashed in one of these cards?
Yeah, he stops and thinks about that. Most folks don't make it far enough to get to a 10th surgery. It's usually like, if you have that level of bad luck, you really are not a good
Yeah, that explains the ad for the funeral parlor on the back. All right.
Ooh, could I look at that?
We should head back to the depot.
All right, yeah, so you get back there, and you're Benny's counterpart in this town. It's like, oh, there you guys are. Yeah, you saw these three crates. You guys want ready to deliver them?
There's nothing I would like more.
All right, fantastic. So you just need to get them to, you don't need to take it up the stairs. It's real great. There's, it says here that the librarian, I'm supposed to use code language. I'm so sorry. It says your client will meet you in a park down here in the Gates Ward. So you need to head over yonder and deliver to him. No big deal. And he's waiting with a big old wagon to take your delivery.
Now, is yonder hither or thither?
Oh, definitely thither. You don't want to go hither.
Oh.
Does the client have any kind of specific demarcation or signs, you know, a pink cotton lily in his blazer, or a special pin that we should be looking for?
Oh, yes, he has, he describes, like, you had seen Mr. Norris at your first assignment had, like, a little pin very tight, very carefully hidden on his lapel that kind of denoted he was a librarian, just like a little picture of a book. Yes, you'll know the client by that little pin.
Sterling, do you think you feel ready to carry the cargo?
Thumbs up.
I can help also.
It kind of got glanced over at the customs part of the train because they were helping you guys to the hospital, so you kind of got to sidestep that particular security check. Like, oh yeah, these are the crates the heroes have. Maybe I get them to the hospital. They didn't even think to cry over the boxes in the book.
Can I, just while we're here, inspect the boxes just to make sure that they're all correct and that nothing's been fiddled with and...
Oh, absolutely. Go ahead and roll survey.
Oh, I have no survey. All right.
I would also check to make sure the books are in it, and I have two.
That's a one.
All right, yeah, why don't we just let Lizzie roll?
Okay.
If you can take the experience for the one-year-old, though, but no penalty for that one.
Yeah, well, I didn't do any better. I got a 2 and a 1.
Yeah, you guys, everything looks accounted for. You see no signs that anyone tampered with the boxes or removed anything.
All right, shall we be off?
Yep.
To the gates.
All right. So, I mean, take it that you're already in the gates, because the gates is basically the entire base of the mountain.
Gotcha.
Yeah, you're just going to, like, a park elsewhere in the Gates District. You get going. It's fine. And you just see sitting, like, next to a large wagon, this prim and proper person in, like, a pantsuit with a monocle and a pocket watch. Like, they're looking at a pocket watch, and you do see on their lapel a pin of a book.
Sir, we're from ESPN, and I believe we have a very important delivery from you from Paradise.
Yes, fabulous, fantastic, wonderful. I don't have my NPC listening. I don't remember if I gave him a name last time.
And to whom do we have the pleasure of speaking?
My name is...
I say it's Schwarzenegger, Jr.
Yes, my name is Schwarzenegger. Arnaldo Schwarzenegger.
That's a very interesting name, Mr. Schwarzenegger. Is that, are you local from around here, or are you...
My family's originally from Austria.
Oh.
We've mentioned him four times, a long time ago. You know, he stands up and he just watches, like, he goes from being the slim man, because his name just became Schwarzenegger, to being this really ripped guy as he, like, takes the jacket off and throws it over his back. Let me get these boxes for you guys. You look tired.
Oh, my. Feeling lightheaded. Like the blood is rushing from my brains. Where would they go?
Anyway, Charles did communicate to me what I owe you all, so here you go. And he has that little coin purse, and there are 4 coin in it, 1 for each of you.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Schwarzenegger. It was a pleasure getting hit here for you, or at least it was an experience that we've learned very much from.
I guess these supplies are going to go to very needy people. It's going to be wonderful. You know, I know that you're, Mr. Norris mentioned your associate Lizzie here was part of our program when she was young. You know, it really is a benefit to the children of the area. It's for the adults, too, actually.
Out of curiosity, may I see your lapel pin? It's very fascinating to me.
No, this is a sacred item. It's like an heirloom for my thing. I do not let it.
Oh, I would never touch it. I just want to get a better look. I have very old eyes, young one, and they don't see too well, then I just...
I need to ask you above game. Are you going to stab Schwarzenegger in the neck?
Above game, that is not the plan, no.
Okay, yeah, sure. He's like, okay, sure. He stands up and puffs out his big, muscly chest for you, so you can see the pelvic.
I pulled out a knife. No, just kidding.
Above game, I would knife you.
Tackle you and get knifed by Lizzie.
You did it. Yeah.
I did give her one of mine. No, I actually am going to lean in very carefully as much as I can, and I will just hold on to my walking stick and peer. Can I memorize the way it looks, like, as much as possible?
Sounds like a study.
Be a sharp.
You are studying.
Study? Okay.
Yep, so
I have two in study. Okay. So 2d6. I got a 4 and a 6.
All right, with a 6, you are very confident you can replicate this book.
Nice. I kind of lean over towards Dr. T and lean in and say,
while we are engineering, there's something else that we might want to duplicate, if you know what I mean.
I know exactly what you mean, and as long as we can keep this between ourselves, I'm more than willing to help you in any way I can.
Fantastic.
All right, Lizzie?
Mr. Schwarzenegger heads on his merry way.
Yes, Winston.
I was going to ask if there's anything else you needed to say to Mr. Schwarzenegger before we headed out, but seeing as how he has... Is he really carrying all three of those boxes on one shoulder?
You put them in a wagon, then you put the wagon on his shoulder.
Oh, shit.
Like, why didn't he just come to Paradise and pick these up himself? He's obviously much more prepared for something like this than we were.
Because he'd carry the train, and that'd be slow.
Okay. I have my coin. You all have your coins. The next train is until the morning. Why don't we all...
I think Willis or Bruce needs to be the next to contact.
Go our separate ways, and we'll meet at the train station in the morning. I have lots I need to do. I bid you adieu.
I just want to get drunk.
All right, so downtime activities now. Winston makes his way off to do his thing. Everybody has... You can do up to 2 downtime activities at base level in Blaze in the Dark. I'm going to go ahead and read off those options for you. You can acquire an asset. You can start a long-term project. You can recover if you are injured. Move your healing clock. You can reduce heat.
Do we need to
do heat? We'll do that in a moment. Okay. Yes, I'll do the payoff in a moment. You can train or you can indulge a vice, which is how you reduce stress. Those are things you do. Think about that as I go through the payoff part. So I give you all 1 coin, which is 4 coins for the job. It's probably... like a small job, a strong box, that sounds accurate to me. I gave you an amount that's divisible by 4, so that's the small job. Heat-wise, you're gonna roll heat. So now we do the payoff part. You're going to roll equal to your wanted level. Your wanted level is currently 0 because they think you're heroes. So roll 2 dice and take the lower result. Anyone in particular want to volunteer to do that?
I can. Take the lower of the 2 results?
Yes.
It is a 5 and a 2.
All right, so with a 2, you're going to have, in terms of heat, you gain trouble or the usual suspects, so you're going to gain 1 heat. I think that's a thing I can track on the crew play sheet. I'll figure it out later. You have some heat. You have the 1 rep. I'm actually going to bump that up to 2 rep because you fussed with Swift Taylor's gang. The most important thing here is you didn't substantially increase your heat in a way that's a problem, so...
You said we bumped up 2 heat?
You bumped up to 2 rep. From 1 to 2.
Okay.
And I believe there's somewhere in here to indicate who your rep is with. I think we can write in there somewhere.
The Lord and Taylor gang.
Yes, your reputation with the Lord and Taylor gang. There's your heat. I'm going to mark you for 1 heat. 1 heat. So there we go. I need another sheet somewhere.
The heat is just underneath those block things under rep.
Yep, I see it now. For those of you at home, I'm using the Roll 20 compatibility version of the Blades in the Dark sheets. Free to use tool on Roll 20. You just set it up when you set your room. You should still consider buying the book. It's a very good book.
And would you say for XP we would mark let's see, so we have executed a successful smuggling mission, and we we bolstered our reputation.
Yes.
Would you say we contended with a challenge above our current station?
I would say so. We were not prepared to stop a train robbery.
That's 3 XP, baby.
So you go ahead and mark that. That's the crew playbook, right? Or is that individually too?
It's the crew. I'm looking at the crew playbook.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, I'm a little rusty on the system, truth be told, but we're getting there.
Learning is fun.
And you're not only rusty, but I'm just learning in general. I'm going from nothing but D&D to this.
Yeah, it's not to badmouth D&D, but if that's all you ever play, this is a nice welcome change, you know? Get out there, play some different games.
Yes.
Blades of the Dark is an excellent game by Evil Hawk Productions. I've also played their games Monster of the Week. My fiance is getting ready to start an actual play of Girl by Moonlight called Starry Nights. It's also here on the network. The episode probably came out as of the time of this recording. When this releases, they'll have their first episode out probably. Love Evil Hawk.
Yeah, they're doing a Kickstarter for Deathmatch Island right now, but by the time this releases, that'll be long over. But just buy Deathmatch Island anyway, because it looks awesome.
Enjoy what you're hearing. Rate us on your favorite podcatcher. Reviews on platforms like Apple, Spotify, or Good Pods help new listeners find our content. It's a completely free way to support the show. Thanks for listening.
Christina, I'm all caught up in my favorite actual play podcasts. What should I do?
All of them? Even my podcast, Agents of Damned?
That's right. Your show's excellent, but I'm up to date on that one too. I'm not sure what to check out next.
Yeah, I know. There's just so many excellent actual play productions out there, it can be overwhelming to choose one.
Not to worry, friends. I can make some recommendations.
Oh my gosh, it's multi-talented TTRPG actual play performer and professional musician Marty Ballmer.
That's right. Just check out my new podcast, College of Whispers. We're the actual play book club that can help you find your new favorite production. Join me and my co-host Vicky every month as we review and analyze different productions in a spoiler-light format that's both entertaining and informative.
Wow, that sounds great. You don't just look at the big-name productions, right?
Yeah, I feel like whenever I ask for podcast recommendations, the same handful of super popular mainstream shows is all I get suggestions for.
Not to fear. On College of Whispers, we look at a mix of big names and indie productions, so the scrappy up-and-coming shows can get their moment in the sun as well.
Well, I'm sold. I'm gonna go download College Whispers on my favorite podcatcher right now. Thanks, Marty.
Wait, Paul, we're part of the Bard Rock Network now. How is any of this news to you?
Give them a listen, everybody. Well, anyway, you all have your two downtime activities. Does anyone want to go first?
I have one in mind. The first thing I would like to do is I would like to go acquire an asset.
All right. What kind of asset are you looking to acquire?
So I am in a new town. I am in a place where I have not been in a God knows how long. And I would like to find a ghost friend, someone who I can rely upon to call and summon to help me. When I am in, near, or around Salvation, or possibly even bring back with me to Paradise.
All right. So before you roll this, describe to me where you go looking for, this spirit person, your process of searching for them.
So I'm looking for someone who is a little more rough and tumble, someone who is capable of really providing a fright. So I'm going to head over towards... not necessarily a graveyard or a church, but I think I'm going to head over to if I can find either a burned or dilapidated building, somewhere where there had been an accident that occurred.
Ah, excellent. Okay, so I will go ahead and say, just because as a graveyards have actually become very uncommon use now, that's probably why you wouldn't go to them.
Mm.
For the most part, there's a mausoleum at the top, the tippity top of the mountain city that they bring all the dead to for the most part.
Okay.
So you'd have to hike up many, 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 many stairs to get where that is.
Oh God, who wants to do that?
Exactly. So, finding a place where someone died a tragic death is probably the way to go.
Yeah, I'm looking for someone who died probably a little too early, who's a little bitter about that.
All right. So, and you're trying to stay in the Gates District, yes?
Sure.
All right. So what you do is you go out to a farm. You find some farmland on the outer edge of the town. And you find what looks like some sort of fire that probably happened, like scorch marks, that thing, kind of thing. And go ahead and roll a tune to see if you can summon a ghost.
That is a 5 and a 6.
All right, with a 6, you absolutely are going to summon a ghost. You
so
get this.
I reach my hands out, and I start almost conducting an orchestra, just trying to feel around inside the field as I attune to it. As I do, my eyes start to gloss over in like a milky white, and I can see sort of past the veil of, you know, what is here and what is not. And I look up and I look over into the debris of the fire, and who do I see?
You see this big, burly guy in overalls, obviously translucent, pale white, and you're pretty fair distance to the city, so there's not, like, any, like, electronics. This is all, like, analog stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you just kind of watch his spirit rise from the ground. And, you know, he's got, like this big, bushy, curly hair on his top, kind of dark. Like, you get the impression it would be dark hair if he wasn't just different shades of white and gray.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, he just looks like your standard farmhand.
I look over and I pull out my handkerchief and I wipe my hands off and I lean over on the nearest fence post and I say, "Hail and well met, good friend. My name is Dr. Winston Thoreau and I'm here to help you."
I'm Ames.
Ames. You know, I knew a man named Ames once back in a former life, and he was a good man, and you look like a good man who could do lots of good things, who is ready to do lots of good things, who is prepared to do lots of good things. Now, Ames, if I may ask, if I may be so brusque, what happened to you?
It was before, I just went down before my time. There was, you know, the farm was starting to not do so well financially, and my pa, he tried setting up a fire for the insurance money. And he didn't know I was asleep in the basement.
It really is a shame that your family had to be put through that and to be put into that position where you had to be so desperate. Now, Ames, what if I was to tell you that the people who put your family in that position, I'm looking to stop them at any cost?
Well, sir, you had my interest, now you have my attention.
Ames, I may reach out to you in the same way that I just have now, and I may look for a favor. And just, you seem new to this, just so you know how this works. If I ask you for a favor someday, you may want to ask me for a favor, because now we're friends. And so I like to think we could work together on a number of different things. How does that sound to you, having a friend?
That sounds mighty fine, good sir.
Ames, I'm going to enjoy working with you. I want you to enjoy your rest, but keep your ears open, because I will call, and I will call soon. And don't worry, I'm writing it down on my notepad right now. We're going to go after that insurance company. I'm going to go after the people who did this to your family.
Well, don't you worry, Dr. Thoreau. If you need me, I'll be right here. He reaches out one finger and does the ET thing. He just puts it on your heart, and then he just kind of, like, glows bright for a few seconds and fades out of existence.
I can feel it in my chest, and it hurts for a second, because I can sort of feel the pain that he went through when he died when he does that, and I can see it in my eyes, and then I shake my head back to life and think, why do I keep doing this thing? Okay, all right.
And now whenever you need him to do errands as a ghost, you can just summon him with an attune book.
Awesome.
So that is one of your downtime activities. Why don't we rotate through and let someone else do it? Like, unless you have something you want to do while you're still here.
No, I just have a question. Just as a as an asset, what level of asset is he a level one?
Right, so you rolled a six. You rolled a six, so he's one tier above you guys. You are tier zero, so he's tier one.
Perfect. Awesome.
Does anyone else want to do their downtime activity while the good doctor makes his way towards his second activity, whatever that may be?
I'm going to go looking for an asset also.
Okay. What kind of asset are you looking for?
Somebody that I can call upon when we're in a tough spot to help bail us out if needed to with a gun.
Okay, so you're trying to find, like, some extra hired muscle.
Yeah.
All right, so tell me where you, like, how you go about doing this. Like, you have experience with unsavory folks of different lines of life. Where do you think you'd go looking for this hired gun?
For a hired gun, I imagine that I'd probably go to the local shooting range or foresty area that I might be able to find some target practice at.
Perfect. So you're going to go in, but you basically, you know what they have a lot of times is they have, in order to get like a food supply of fresh produce and meat, all the agriculture and hunting is done at the base of the mountain. So you head off into the woodlands near the mountain, and of course you hear the crack of a rifle of some sort, and you know the general direction you need. Go ahead and roll plus hunt to determine the tier that you're going to do here. I mean, the rules is written, I'm supposed to have you roll the cruise tier, but rolling zero is boring.
Well, it just so happens I have two in hunt.
Yeah, so I'm letting you guys roll a stat that's relevant to the thing you're doing, plus tier.
I got a 6 and a 1.
Alright, with a 6 and a 1, you're also going to get a tier 1 asset. So what you do is you find this hunter who, he's like a barrel-chested guy in dark pants and a red and gold shirt with kind of like this little dupe, like foppy haircut. And he's got like this blunderbuss and he's like picking up this beast he just shot. Like, ah, hello there!
Hi!
Can I help you, miss?
I was just looking for some friendly help when we decide to get in a scuff, that's all.
Oh, well, I could certainly be of help you there. You know, I'm a hunter by trade, but I've been known to take care of security and such all the time. My name is Gus, by the way. Gus Don.
I'm Lizzie Calhoun. And I'm from between here and Salvation, and was raised on a homestead, and so I totally get being a hunter by trade.
Oh, yes, between here and Paradise, I think I know the homestead you're thinking of. I haven't been there personally, but there's some of my friends in the hunting lodge come from there from time to time.
Yes. And it just so happens that I ran into an old schoolmate of mine this week, and didn't end up good on either side. But I think I did the most damage, but it's always helpful to not get damaged at all if we can help it.
Certainly. If you have any business here in Salvation or in the surrounding area, just give me a call. Any great fishes around, and like, what's the steampunk Victorian version of a business card? Whatever, he pulls out a business card. And it's got his rotary phone number.
Okay. Well, thank you, sir, and I appreciate it.
Of course. And he just, like, bye-bye.
Bye.
Have a good day, fair lady. And he goes about, like, loading carcasses into his little wagon to roll back into town and, like, butcher up for food.
I help him finish loading the wagon before I let go.
Ah, thank you so much.
No problem.
Riley, do you have something for Sterling to do?
I guess I'll go and ask Max. How sneaky are you? You're prowling around.
Well, I mean, I've got a weak leg and only one. What did you have in mind?
Very stressed out. I would feel better if I had a small collection of... Glassware would be great. Small items like that.
Small, like little trinkets?
Dishes. The more decorative, the better.
Like, say,
really useless items. What about, could you distract someone while I maybe grab some stuff somewhere? We could just go find some things that maybe no one's looking very closely at.
Oh, absolutely. If you need assistance with purloining, as it were, I can distract, I suppose. It doesn't take much. I still have two rats.
You sure do.
So we look around. Is there a curio shop of any kind?
Yeah, it's not that hard. If you're looking for like nice dishware, right? Like fine china, bone china kind of stuff.
Well, it's a fine balance between the more ostentatious, the better, but also I don't want to get caught.
I'll go and say you find like an antique shop where like someone has like those nice, like, here's the thing, like, real world, like, people used to like save like fine china and silverware, but unless it's actually made of silver, it didn't appreciate in value that much over the years. So, like, it's like one of the things people collect it, but because it looks nice. So, like, if you go to, like, an antique shop, they have a bunch of, like, old china plates. They actually aren't that expensive. So, like, yeah, you can find, like, reasonably priced-ish china that you can steal if you want to steal it, but you also can probably afford it with your pocket money because you're basically just buying fancy glassware. So stealing is part of the vice, go for it.
Yeah, you had to throw reasonably priced in there. Okay.
Yeah, so it's like this, like, the little old lady who's running an antique shop, and she just has, like, things from, like, the before times. You know, so you see, like, a lot of things that would be in, like, a 21st century antique shop, you know, like, old dishware, dolls. You also see, like, random things, like, you see a fidget spinner. You know, you see, like, an Android phone that clearly can no longer hold a charge.
Just stuffed animal of the Noid.
Yep, there's, oh yeah.
A whole bunch of Beanie Babies.
She has tons of Beanie Babies, including, like, there's, like, she has, like, one that she has priced at, like, $30,000. It's a Scorch.
The great Beanie Plague.
Finally happened.
But if you look at it very closely, you realize how much would you say you know about Beanie Babies?
Oh, that's a good question. I think a weird amount.
All right, so if you want to, I'll give you +1d to roll survey or study, your choice, to evaluate whether it's a Beanie Baby.
That was the only correct answer and the best possible answer, by the way.
Well, now I kind of feel like I need it, but it also does not fit what I'm looking for. That'll just be a bonus. But before we even move close to this poor shopkeep, I nudge Max. You know, change of plans. Do not stab anyone.
You nudged me in the ribs, and now I have shattered ribs on my left side. Okay. Would you like me to chat up the young lady, as it were?
Those ribs were shattered before, for one.
Layla! Layla, you got me on my knees, and I only have one! I walk towards her, holding my hand out towards her face, saying, your eyes, are to be a teardrop in your eyes, to be born in your eyes, to live upon your cheek, and to die upon your lips. That is my only request. Layla, why won't you return my calls?
Because I divorced you 15 years ago, asshole.
Oh, you're actually Layla. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought I made you up.
Wow. What a coincidence.
I'm
just filling a crate with breakable things.
Yeah, this woman's very distracted by the fact her ex-husband just showed up.
Was it the lack of snuggling? I don't remember why.
You kept trying to put your other leg in places it didn't belong.
Ah, like the refrigerator. That always freaked you out.
Yes, refrigerator, and no other places. Here, let me pour you a cup of tea. Let's catch up. And she, like, wanders in back and pulls, like, a little teapot out.
Oh, fantastic. I can't wait to taste your passion fruit tea.
She pours you a cup of tea. She's like, I also got this to spice it up. She pulls out a bottle of famous Nathan's herbal tonic, which is just basically pink schnapps, and pours a little bit of it into the tea.
Somewhere Winston suddenly starts cursing for no reason.
Also, don't forget the rat poison.
Yeah, famous Nathan, he's amazing. He has he and his partner, Mr. Heinz French, they have 57 different varieties of miracle tonic.
57, you say? It's amazing. How do you tell them apart? I know they're always together.
Oh, you tell Heinz and Nathan apart. Okay. I thought you meant tell the tonics apart. I'm like, because they have the number on the label.
Well, obviously, I'm not a dullard.
Oh, Max, you don't have to lie to me.
That's true.
Anyway, Sterling, go ahead and roll. I'll give you bonus dice to roll Prowl to steal this stuff. Or Finesse, whichever one's better for you. They're both skulky.
Can I do a minor change of plan? I want to pay for the dishware, but steal the Beanie Baby.
That's perfectly fine.
I want a little purple bear.
Did you want to roll to...
Is that the Princess Diana
bear? Did you want to roll to survey the Beanie Baby first?
That seems like a reasonable thing to do, so...
Or, yeah, survey or study, which one's better for you. You have a plus one to your die for that because you're an expert on Beanie Babies, apparently.
That is the Princess Diana Beanie Baby.
Yes, it is. It is. Why do we all know this is the Princess Diana Baby?
Who was
because
she?
Because we all lived in the 90s.
That's true.
That was a two.
Yeah, you are absolutely sure this is the authentic $30,000 in its prime version of Scorch and not one of the cheap ones that was made later.
This is going to be incredibly useful later.
So now you can go ahead and roll your prowl or finesse, whichever one's better for you, with a bonus die because Max has got his ex-wife very distracted.
I'll take a half die from each. That's another two.
No.
Cool. Really awesome.
Yeah, so I'm going to go ahead and say, first of all, mark experience in both those things you just rolled twos on. And she's like, oh, Max, is that your friend over there?
Oh, I've never seen him before in my life, much like I've never seen you before in my life. But that's fine, my dear.
I take her hand and I slowly try to hobble her around to where her back is towards Sterling.
I'm going to go ahead and say Sterling like looked like they were just examining the Beanie Baby and didn't look like they were trying to steal it. And Max, because that was a controlled roll, that was going to be a risky roll if you want to try again. And Max just turned her around, so I'll give you the bonus die again.
Such high stakes for such a little reward. I have to do it. That's a one.
And it seems to me you lived your life like a candle in the wind.
Yeah, so you go to pilfer this Beanie Baby, and there is, like, there's this, like, vase next to the Beanie Baby. Like, this very nice, ornate vase. And when you're picking up the Beanie Baby, you knock over the vase, and it goes clunk and shatters into a bajillion pieces.
Does that count towards my vice?
Yes, it counts towards your vice. You can roll your vice. If you want to use the one for your vice, because the one is very good, you can. I think that reduces a bunch of stress for you. But I will go ahead and say, she like turns around, she's like, oh, shucks, hun, that vase was actually not that expensive. I intentionally mark up things that look expensive to get people. You know, be your Max's friend. I'm going to let it go, but you are going to have to pay for that Beanie Baby. It's also marked up ridiculously high. It's like worth $3.
Why would you do that? That doesn't make very good business sense.
Because people think it's the expensive one, Max. There's one version out there that's worth a lot of money. I convince them that I have that one. And then when they sell it, and she opens up this chest behind the counter, she's got like 30 of the cheap one. They haggle me down. They're like, oh, can I pay you $500 for this $30,000? I think I'm like, oh, I don't know. I'm going to take a major loss. And then they give me $500.
Has that ever worked?
Max, you look into your lungs and find you have 4 copies of this Beanie Baby.
Oh. That's unexpected.
Each one of them has a dead rat in it.
Nice. I will be saving those for later.
What kind of percentage markup are we talking about here?
2,000, apparently.
Yeah, so to put things in perspective, she's like letting people haggle down to $500. This thing's probably worth like $10. You know, using 21st century currency, I'm not going to account for imaginary inflation. You know, so like, yeah, she's telling us an insane markup because she's basically fraudulently claiming it's the expensive version by just like probably touching it up a little bit because there's like a difference in the pattern of the fur. She's probably like making it look like the expensive one. But only people with a keen eye like yourself, if you had rolled better, would have known that this is a fake.
I'm going to speak on behalf of the listeners. You're ruining the immersion if you don't go into the actual imaginary inflation.
What's the conversion of lantern bucks to paradise nickels?
Well, it doesn't matter because Blades in Paradise only has coin as a currency you need to carry about. Everything else is just imaginary money. Even more imaginary than the coin.
One paradise coin is about 50,000 lantern bucks.
Yes, and when you pass go, you only get 200 of those lantern bucks.
Oh, damn it.
I'm ruined!
Anyway, Max and Sterling, as you exit the shop, now loaded up with a bunch of cheap dishware and a fraudulently created duplicate Beanie Baby, a large gentleman approaches you. He's wearing a white fur coat. He has a copper cane and platform shoes. and a gaudy ass diamond ring, and a it looks like a pocket watch, but it's like the size of a dinner plate dangling around his neck.
I swear, baby, I was going to pay you. Oh, you're not my pimp.
Oh no, that's my other deal, baby. My name is Julius Orange, and I hear you all from ESPN. Is that correct?
Yes, you've heard correctly. Maybe.
I have a job for you. And that's where we're going to end tonight's session. We'll deal with that next time. Thank you all for playing, and thank you all for listening. This has been Blades in Paradise.
Blades in Paradise is Paul Kinter as Master of Ceremonies, Justin Langston as Maximilian Graves, Faith Queenie Long as Lizzie Calhoun, ML Riley as Sterling Ackred, and myself, Jim Remus, as Dr. Winston Thoreau. Dami Widener is our editor. You can directly support this show at patreon.com/bardrocknetwork, starting at just $3 a month. You can join us on Discord, you can come play games with us, we'll even send you network swag at the end of the year. You can visit our sponsor, Evil Hat Games, and use code BARDROCK10 to buy cool games like Blades in the Dark, and let them know we sent you. You can support the podcast for free by sharing us on social media, word of mouth, or rating and subscribing on your favorite podcatcher. Lastly, you support us just by listening. Thank you for listening, dear friends.